How many of you have ever owned a vehicle that has been recalled? Or at least maybe some repairs have been recalled on the vehicle, right? Yeah, so you have to take it back to the manufacturer or to the dealer, whoever it was that has called you to recall your life. Well, why do they do that? Well, because there's safety problems and or there's something that's dangerous. Did you see on the news last night where another lady saved another lady's life going down the road? The lady driving the car, which, by the way, was not her Kia, she was driving down the freeway, and this person pulled up next to her, and flames, the person had their phone out, and they're seeing these flames coming out from underneath the car, and she finally gets the other person's attention and get out. And the lady pulls off the side of the road and just barely escapes when the car just erupts and burns to the ground. She got out crying because she had borrowed the car from a friend of hers. And the friend was, she's like, I don't care about the car. I'm glad that my friend is okay. You know, and I'm sorry that she then learned there had been a recall of some problem in the engine that she had not taken care of. And here it burned up. So that's not the kind of recall I wanted to talk about this morning. But it was a nice segue. There's a life to recall, a life to remember. And that's what I want us to think about today, that there's a life to recall. And that life is not only the life of Jesus Christ, but each and every one of our lives. Because guess what? We all broken. We all have a part of us that needs fixing. Some of us need bigger fixes than others. But we all need some kind of a fix. I was talking with Brother John. He had to take his car in because of a CV joint went wrong on his car. And I said, well, have you checked to see if there were any other recall items on your car? And he goes, no, I really haven't. He says, how would I do that? And so I went online and showed him that there was this part that he needs to talk to the Kia dealer about, because this part is something to do with the brake light, but also about the brake mechanics, that sometimes it will even keep your car from going into park. And the car will just drive off by itself without a driver. Or it may be like the lady who had a brand new Labrador puppy, and she went to the store. And the Labrador puppy, it was cool out, so don't call ASPCA or whatever that is. But she rolled down the window so there'd be a nice breeze coming in for her new Labrador puppy. And it was laying out nicely in the back seat. And she says, now, stay. I'll be right back. And she gets out of her car, and she's walking away from her car backwards into the store. And as she's going, stay. Stay, to keep encouraging that puppy to just stay there, not to be all excited and follow her. And another driver, not knowing that she was talking to, said, lady, wouldn't it be easier if you just put it in park? A life to recall is the title of today's message. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 to 26. And when Jesus, you can take this out inside a bulletin and read along with me, please. I'd really appreciate hearing the word of God out loud, because it drives the demons crazy. So let's just drive them out of here. And when Jesus had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you." Sorry, missed out a word there. "Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words. For your words are life. And they are health to my inner being. They're health to my mind. They give me strength when I'm weak. They encourage me. They challenge me to live a better life for you. But an important thing that you wanted to have stressed in the Christian community is that we would be a people who would remember and honor the life that was put on a cross for us. You want us to recall that pain, that suffering that he went through so that we would then ourselves stop and not partake anymore in the things that we know do not bring pleasure to your heart. Lord, all of us have those things. There's not one of us in this room that's not been a sinner. But we are saved by your grace, Lord God, and thank you for that. Lord, we want to recall all that you have done for us every moment of every day so that we do not cheapen it by the decisions that we make. In Jesus' name. And everybody said. So, your first fill-in. Christ's death recalls all life. To be a chosen person in the Old Testament, you had to prove that your lineage came from what? Come on, people. Give me your Bible studiers. Come on, come on. Abraham, right? And through the line of Jacob, right? If you were not one of the tribes of Jacob, then you are not one of the chosen people, correct? Everybody got that? That's Old Testament, right? New Testament, Jesus, the very Son of God, is coming to the human history. And to do what? One thing. To be a sacrifice for all the sins of all the people that we might be brought back into a relationship with God Almighty that is not based upon the law, not based upon an inheritance of your name, but rather based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. A far better sacrifice than any dead animal. It was a pure and spotless sacrifice put on the altar for you and for me, because we know that if there is sin, there has to be a sacrifice for sin, a blood sacrifice for sin to be cleansed. Jesus Christ was that blood sacrifice for you and for me. I mean, I don't know how many of you got through the Passion of the Christ movie. When they were beating our Jesus. I mean, yes, it was just an actor. But in that movie portrayal, that actually happened to Jesus. Those nails were driven through his hands and through his feet. That wasn't pretend. He was established up on a cross as a sign saying, "And when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto the Father. It's real. The movie was not, but the movie brought agony to my heart and my soul. I remember the place, the movie theater was full. The Passion of the Christ had just come out, and the place was just full of Christians. And when that beating was happening, you could hear a pin drop in that movie theater. Silence was the order of the day, except for this one woman, so overcome by the emotion of it. She was sobbing, I mean sobbing, out loud. And my heart was right there with her going, yes, please keep sobbing. His death recalled all life. His death brought us into this new relationship with God, not based on past, but based on the present reality that our sins are washed away and that we have been made holy and pure, spotless, without any blame because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because of anything that I am. I'm nothing special. Except for this one thing I have declared before others and stand in this pulpit declaring the same, that Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior, and He has died for my sins, and I have accepted that whole. I'm in. I am all in. Not for the glory of having the streets paved with goldness, sea, a glassy sea that comes from the throne, or hearing the angel voices. I am all in because God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him will have eternal life. You see, I know there's more than just this life that I'm living. I know that there's an eternity, and I want every bit of it. How about you? But you see, you can't have it your way. God makes the rules. We don't. And so we've got to play according to the rules that God has set down. And what God sets down for us is that we have then got to surrender our lives to Him. He becomes our master. And He is not a bad taskmaster. He will not call you to do anything that He will not also empower you to do with His Holy Spirit and with His wisdom. It's a win-win for us. When we recall that Christ's death has recalled my life. Acts chapter 2, verses 17 to 21. Read with me, please. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on what? All people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Okay, so then we need a real good understanding about this thing of prophesy that I'm supposed to be about. What does the word prophesy truly mean? And I could give you the Greek word and really wow you, but I'm not going to try that. Because how many of us really speak Greek here? You speak English? Yo hablé español. Hablé inglés. I hablé inglés. For the most part. However, once in a while, I do speak in tongues like that. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Men and women will prophesy. To prophesy does not mean that I am going to tell what's going to happen in the future. To prophesy is this.
Corey, I love your spirit when you're up here singing. You just sing with such a love for God. It's just, I see it just pouring out of you. My brother, I know that you're going through some struggles, but I want to let you know that the strength of God is upon you. It's for you. It's in you. And you're a mighty man of God, and I thank you for the example that you are. You see, those are words of prophecy. Because they strengthen, they build up, they encourage. That's the gift of prophecy.
Did I earn any money for that? No, we're not to profit from the gifts of God, are we? But did I profit his heart and his mind and his spirit? Oh, I did greatly. He feels very loved by me right now. And that's a good, good thing. So do we have that ability to speak strength, encouragement, to build each other up. You know, it's real easy to tear other people down, isn't it? I mean, that seems to be one of our default settings, is to try to find something wrong with somebody else and then concentrate on that rather than concentrating on the good things that they do and the goodness that is within them. You see, within each and every person, there is potential for God's kingdom to just erupt out of them. Amen? But if all we do is dig at them, if all we do is point out their faults, if all we do is just rant and rave about how they're just so disappointing, we're never going to see that potential, are we? So instead, we speak potential within each other. Not our potential, but the potential of God in and through us. Amen? Amen. That's the gift of prophecy. And the gift of prophecy and God's Spirit will be poured out on what? All people. You see, that means there's nobody in this room that is out of that realm. God will pour out his Spirit on all people. All. Okay, well, so then what is the default that I need? You need to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Died for your sins, rose from the grave, your Lord, your Savior, your Master. That's what you need. And the Spirit of God will be poured out in and through you. Christ's death recalls all life. Your life has been on the recall list. Have you given it back to him? You see, your life was created to live in this world. But you're not to be in this world. You're to be of his kingdom. Amen? Second point. Christ's death issues anointing. Christ's death issues anointing. Well, that's right. When Christ was here upon this earth, all the miracles were done in and through him, right? I love, though, in the teachings about Christ and his disciples, his followers, that there was a point in time when he had 70 of his followers and he said, you know, I want you to go out two by twos and I don't want you to take anything with you. Don't take any money. Don't take an extra pair of sandals. Just go and minister the truth that you have been taught in the years that I have been here with you. I look at that story and I think, Jesus, you're just experimenting with these guys, huh? You wanted to teach them how in their own strength and in their own power they weren't quite that. And yet there were points in their going out as they obeyed Christ and they went out to the other worlds, to the towns around them, and they preached about the good news of Jesus Christ, that they were empowered to do some miraculous things in the name of Jesus. Right? But the great experiment, we tend to focus on this one story out of all of that, in that there was this one demonized child who was brought back from the 70 going out. All the lives that they touched and ministered to, one story comes out. And we focus on the negative. Don't we have a propensity toward doing that kind of thing? We always want to find the dirt on something, don't we? Well, Jesus, this man's demonized son, we tried to cast it out, but Master, what did we do wrong? He goes, you didn't do anything wrong. I'm sorry, this was the advanced class, and I forgot to give that to you. I should have known you were going to come across cases like this. But you've got to understand, and this is what I want you to learn out of this. Some of these things won't come out of people without prayer and fasting. Some of these demons are so strong, they have such a stronghold upon people's lives that they will not come out without prayer and fasting. And Jesus addressed the demon in that little child. And he says, be gone. And that demon went squealing. Went out. Christ's death issues anointing. John chapter 14, 15 to 17. Read this with me if you would. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. You see, earlier this week, I was studying. I had a whole different sermon going. Monday, I came and I was studying, and it just seemed, you know, there were things that I was putting down, but it was a battle. Tuesday, I came back in and I'm wrestling after the men's Bible study. I was in here and I was wrestling with what it is that I wanted to get from the Lord to share with the church. And though this message was going on and it was coming, it was like, okay, but it just, you know, felt empty. It didn't just feel, you know, completely full of the truth that God wanted to present to you this morning. And so I kept praying, I kept digging, and I was like, Lord, what is it? What's the barrier? And it wasn't until Wednesday's prayer time. And Brother David Brown, who God has put upon David Brown's heart to help assist this church and to be in a church of prayer. And he has been coming here voluntarily from noon to one every Wednesday to just meet with those who want to come and pray and enter into the Holy of Holies. And Brother Dave, bless him for doing that, because he has such a heart for God. He brought in a word that Wednesday. And that word was mantle. He got it out of a book that's called Mysteries by Jonathan Cahn. C-A-H-N. And this book is about a man who travels to Jerusalem and he sits underneath the teaching of a rabbi. And every day he and the rabbi, they go out, and the rabbi teaches him a new Hebrew word, and he takes him out to the special places where this word will come alive. And sometimes they don't go out at all. But he taught him this one word this one day, mantle. Do you understand the word mantle and what that means? A mantle is a passing down of power or privilege from one who has power and privilege to the next. It was given from Moses to Joshua. There was a mantle of power given there. Jacob gave it to his sons. Before him, his father gave it to him. There was a passing down of power and anointing from one to the other. Elijah gave it to Elisha. And Elisha, so bold. Man, Elisha and Peter got to be cut out of the same thread, man. You know? Because Elisha, you know, I want more than just what you've had, brother. I want a double portion. And Elijah says, well, I can't promise that unless you see me being taken up to heaven. Then you will have a double portion. You think Elisha left that man alone? Elisha, I'm shaking the bush over here, okay? Just leave me alone. Let me have a little privacy, please. Oh, I don't want you to be taken up, and I don't know about it, you know? No. But Elisha was like a shadow on Elijah. And he was ministering to him. He's helping him along, and all of a sudden, this chariot just appears. And it's Elijah's taxi, his Uber, his Lyft, if you will. And Elisha catches it. And the mantle of Elijah is given to Elisha. And not only that, but other people were obviously there because they see this anointing pass on to Elisha. And they remark, oh, you have received a double portion, because as Elisha started to cross the river, all of a sudden the river just parts. Whoa, that's cool stuff, right? From man to man, the anointing kept going on, and the problem with this is that women weren't involved in it. And God's heart is grieved because he has made us all in his likeness. And yet it was very much a man's society until Acts chapter 2. When Joel, who proclaimed it in the Old Testament, his words come alive in the New Testament, and a new mantle of anointing, because it's not a man's anointing, it is the mantle of Jesus Christ. And no one man can handle that. Instead, that mantle is given to all who call upon Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. You have a mantle of anointing that has been given to you through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So act in it. Act upon it. Act upon that power, and no longer be a slave to the things of this world, but instead be a slave unto God. I will pour out my spirit on all people, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. What does the world need to hear today? They need to hear encouragement. They need to be built up. They need to be strengthened in their knowledge about a loving Heavenly Father who loved them so much that he gave his only son, so that you and me and all these people in this world that are walking around this deep, dark world can have the light of Christ in their life. Every life has been recalled, and an anointing has been issued upon those who call Christ Lord. Your last point. Christ's death promotes empowerment. Christ's death promotes empowerment. John chapter 16, verses 13 to 14. Jesus is speaking these very words. And what did he say? When he, the Spirit comes, of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. You see, too many of us have treated the Holy Spirit as if it's an it. He has been given personal pronouns, which means the Holy Spirit is a person. It is one of the Trinity. There is God the Father, ultimate, his Son Jesus Christ, equal in power, and the Holy Spirit, which hovers over all the works of God and hovers in the works of God. And you are the works of God. Because in Psalm 139, it says, he knit you together in the womb. And he has plans and he has purposes for your life if you'll stop ignoring him and instead call out to him. And he will show you what his plans for you. He will reveal them to you. Why? Because God is not a God of a bunch of secrets. He is a God who has exposed himself to all of us. He's exposed his love, the depths of his love to us, in that he gave us his only son to die. But he didn't leave his son to rot, to be worm food. Instead, he raised him with his power, with the same power that he created the whole universe. And he set mankind upon this earth, the third planet from the sun, the blue planet. And he said, it's good. You don't need to go out to space. You don't need to go anywhere else. I have created all things to keep you alive right here on this planet. But we doubt God.
Oh, there must be some other places.
No. This is the only planet that he sent his son to die for the people who inhabit this world. He's not caring about the other planets. He cares about Earth because he created it for you and for me to be able to live and breathe and have our being here. However, he's got a much greater plan. He's got a plan for our eternity. But we don't get the eternal thing without professing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Y'all with me? So Christ's death promotes empowerment. The Spirit of truth will come upon you. What is the world so in need of today? Truth. Truth. And where is it being spoken? On the news. On the computer. On our newspapers. Wrong. Thank you. The Spirit of truth is being spoken whenever the Word of God is shared, and wherever the Word of God is shared. This world needs to know the truth that God establishes as truth. And you and I are the ambassadors for this truth. You and me.
Well, Pastor, I don't know if I'm equipped to do that.
Yes, you are. Do not belittle the Spirit of God that lives within you. You are called, Cheryl Holloman. You are called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I could point out your other name. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to just embarrass you. If I did, please, mea culpa, mea culpa. Each of us have the Spirit of God in us if we have acknowledged Jesus Christ as our Lord and Master, and we have the ability to share Jesus Christ by the power of God's Spirit that lives in us and lives around us. Amen? Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says what? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Christ's death recalls all life. His death issues anointing. His death promotes empowerment. You see, as long as Christ walked this earth, anything and everything that was getting done was being done in and through him. He raised up apostles. He raised up mentees as he was the mentor. And he told them to do what? Go out, make disciples. The first decree that Jesus spoke to his apostles, I want you to go out and I want you to make disciples. What are disciples? Followers of Jesus Christ. I want you to go out and make disciples. Do you think that commission has ended because the apostles are dead? No. 2,000 years later, that is still the commission that is still involved in those who will proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You are to make disciples of others. You're to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You're to teach them to obey everything that God has taught you. So if you haven't learned anything lately about God and His Word, why? You see, that's our textbook. This is what we're going to be tested on. Did you know my word? Did you know me? Well, Pastor, there's a lot of words in there. There's a lot of books, and there's a lot of stuff I don't understand. Fine. And I can't always explain them to you. Did you hear that? I can't always explain them to you, even though I'm your great and awesome pastor. But the Holy Spirit can. And if you go to the Holy Spirit and you say, Holy Spirit, this is a difficult passage. Help me to understand that. You see, I didn't understand that God wanted me to struggle in my own power, my own strength, my own wisdom earlier in this week to just be able to go, hey, Don, guess what? I've got a better teaching for you to teach the people. I want them, and I hope that you might have seen my cleverness or the cleverness of God in this outline. The first letter of every word is bolded, and it reads what? Rest in peace. Are you at peace with God today? Are you going to be at peace with God tomorrow? Are you at peace with what you've done in the past, that is yesterday's old newspaper and it's done with, that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all that sin, that He's called you to live in the present and live with a hope for a future? Because that's what we have as believers in Jesus Christ. We have a future. And we are so empowered with the Holy Spirit that we can say no to the things of this world and what it has to offer and say yes to God and be everything that we can be, making disciples, making church. You want a vision for the church? This is a vision statement for the church. Make disciples. Make disciples. Make, follow. You want to see the church grow, right? Then make disciples. You don't make disciples by putting on programs. You don't make disciples by having vacation Bible schools. You don't make disciples by doing that. You make disciples by teaching them about the good news of Jesus Christ. That's how you grow a church. Because God will add to your numbers daily those who are being saved. How can they be saved if no one takes the good news out to them? You have been commissioned by God Almighty to take the good news. You have been entrusted with His word and knowledge of it through the power of God's Holy Spirit, which lives in you and through you, to tell others about the wonderful things that you are experiencing because of God Almighty. Amen? Now, before anybody leaves, wait, Lorraine. Before anybody leaves, this message screams to me communion. That we need to proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Not so that the people in the chairs can see that, but so that God can see it. That I am proclaiming by taking the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. What is our first? For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You're proclaiming that you are a partaker of his life and his death. But you are also empowered with resurrection power. Let his spirit rise up within you. This is, dim the lights down. This is a time between you and God that I want you to just dedicate your life. I don't want you to. God wants you to. And if you feel so possessed by His Spirit to come and proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord, this isn't going to be a formal thing. You just come up here when you are ready.